Come on, so am I. Why don't you turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 25. 1 Samuel chapter 25. Bit of a different topic tonight, because we're talking about people. And we started, I think, last week with the topic of people don't know what people don't know. People don't know what people don't know. Could have been last week, could have been the week before, I'm not sure. This week we're talking about people once again, and tonight we're talking about difficult people. Everyone look straight ahead right now. Difficult people. Don't look at your neighbour, don't make eye contact with anyone in the room. We're talking about difficult people. Who's got some difficult people in their life? Yeah, don't put your hand up so quickly. We all have difficult people, and here's the news for you. You may be one of them. I am. I'm one of them. I think we're all difficult to a degree. We have varying degrees of difficulty. If you want to know how difficult I am, just talk to my wife, and she will tell you. And come and talk to me if you want to know how difficult she is. I will tell you how difficult she can be, because we all are. People get bent out of shape when someone says, you're difficult. Well, we're all difficult. We all have moments where we get a bit prickly, a bit awkward, it's a bit ugly, and it's a bit uncontrollable in terms of the way our personality is behaving itself. And so tonight, I want to talk about difficult people so I can help those that are difficult, and then secondly, I can help those that have difficult people around their world. They may be in your home, they may be in your family, they may be distant relatives, they're always difficult. They may be people you work with or people that work for you. They come in all shapes and sizes, and sometimes they just make life complicated. They make life complicated. Little promo then, right now, at this very moment, we have coming up. How many know what this is? This is a tool. Multi-grips. Every man in the house should know what this is. Every man in the house probably has this tool at home, or a similar tool. You might have a shifter. For a man, it's either a shifter or multi-grips is his tool of default, his default tool that he goes to tighten anything. Because you can tighten anything with this, but the challenge is it doesn't always do the job as effectively as it should do the job, because it's not made to actually fit a specific size nut. And nuts come in all shapes and sizes. Therefore, you need the right tool to do the job. I tell Cheryl that every time there's something to do around the house. Every time there's something to do around the house, I need to go and buy a brand new tool. So down to Bunnings. I live at Bunnings. Bunnings is like a supermarket to me. I go shopping in there. I have every tool known to man in my shed. I can't use any of them, but I'm Tony the Tool Man. And so what I do know about tools is this. I'm smart enough to know you've got to have the right tool for the right job. So this tool, being a ring spanner, is designed for a certain size nut so that it fits it perfectly and tightens it and gets the job done. When it comes to conflict, when it comes to relationships and having those moments, we're putting on a training event which is to help people negotiate conflict so you're not tearing it up like you would with your multi-grips, but you've got the right tool to do the job. And so this training event is called, what's it called? It's called Circuit Breaker. It's held on Thursday night, 7 till 9, starting on June the 29th. We're going to provide a manual and supper. Every night you'll get supper when you come, and then you'll get a manual. It costs $75 per person to register for this event. It's an outstanding course written by a pastor who has introduced this to us, and we're looking forward to navigating this journey. And so if we can help you, that would be tremendous, and I encourage you to come along if you're somebody that needs some help with that, and I think we all need help with that. You know, the truth is relationships would be easy if it wasn't for people. Relationships would be easy if it wasn't for people. They don't have to be difficult, but people make it difficult. Just because people are involved in the connections and the relationships that we have, that's what makes our relationships difficult. I've learned as a pastor that occasionally there are people that I have to kind of love from a distance. You've got to love everybody, but some you just got to love from a distance because it's complicated. Got any complicated people in your world? It's complicated. They're just hard to be in close proximity with. Love them, but I can't be in too close a proximity with them because it's just too difficult. The Navy, they do studies because in the Navy they have like submarines. And I don't know whether you've ever been on a submarine, but a submarine is a very confined place to be living with people. So they only allow certain personalities on a submarine. They do a lot of personality testing to get the right people that are going to be in that small space together. Because if you're in a small space with the wrong person, it's going to be complicated, challenging, and difficult. Now, I know we're not all on a yellow submarine. And we're not all living together, but it's helpful to look at the topic of difficult people and how to respond to difficult people in your world, because we need to know how to do that skillfully. And then secondly, if you are a difficult person, how to change. How to change if you are a difficult person. So I pray you open your heart and your mind tonight and just let God change you. Is that a good deal? Oh, pray God changes your neighbor. Is that a good deal? That's a real good deal. Pray for that. We're going to look at a story in the Bible that's not a very well-known story. It's a beautiful story. It's a story of a woman named Abigail, her husband called Nabal, and then the third character in the story is David, who is the would-be king of Israel. He's been anointed to be the king. He's on the run because the current king doesn't like the fact they've anointed a new king. And so the current king, Saul, is out to kill him. So he's chasing him all over Israel with a spear. David's hiding in caves. He's got a group of men that have joined him, about 400 men, and they've been protecting the borders of Israel from the raiding enemies. They're out there, they're tired, they're weary, they're wanting some water, they want some food, and while they've been protecting the borders, they've been protecting Nabal's herds and looking after Nabal and his belongings, his farm and his family. And so David thinks, we'll go to Nabal and we'll ask Nabal if he'd return the favor and show some kindness to us and feed and water our horses and our men and look after us for a little bit. But Nabal, being who Nabal is, he refuses. So in 1 Samuel chapter 25, verse 3, it says this. It says, this man's name was Nabal, and his wife Abigail was a sensible and a beautiful woman. But Nabal, who was a descendant of Caleb, was crude and mean in all of his dealings. Nabal's name means, or Nabal himself, he was known for being a harsh, insolent, rude, contentious, and difficult person. Know anybody like that? A harsh, insolent, rude, contentious, and difficult person. As opposed to Abigail, his wife. She is noted as being beautiful, intelligent, graceful, gracious, kind, intuitive, and extremely wise. The story unfolds with David and his men, as I said, patrolling the nation's borders. And they came across Nabal's men, and they wanted to get some relief. They wanted to get some water for the horses and some food supplies for David's fighting men. And David makes this agreement to meet with Nabal and kind of seal the deal of his friendship with him. But rather than show kindness, Nabal behaves like an insolent fool that he is. And he shows David arrogance. He's rude and harsh towards David and his men. And David does what most good men do when they're put in that position. He says, enough is enough. I've had it with Nabal. And he literally says this. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 25, 13, David says, get your swords, was David's reply, as he strapped on his own sword. And then 400 men started off with David, and they were going to go and deal with Nabal. Trouble brewing at the Ponderosa. How many remember Bonanza? I love Bonanza. Grew up watching Bonanza. What a great TV show. And trouble brewing is what is happening right here for Nabal. David is coming after him. But Abigail, she hears about the trouble that's brewing, and she does what any wise woman would do. She intervenes into this contention, and she helps David understand it's not worth getting into strife with Nabal. I was thinking about some of the difficult people that we encounter and kind of picture forms of those difficult people. And I wrote down 10 thoughts of the kind of difficult personalities that we might encounter. First of all, I got the volcano. The volcano. The volcano is that person or personality that's always just waiting to erupt. You never quite know what to say to the volcano, because if you say the wrong thing, it's kaboom with the volcano personalities. Anyone know any volcanoes? Yeah, no. The sponge personality, which is constantly soaking up all of your energy and all of your life. And the sponge is someone that never gives back. They never return. They're always needy and they just suck the life out of you. Some people have the personality of a sponge. What about the gossip personality. The gossip personality is always difficult because they leak secrets. They tell stories. And the gossip, here's the deal with the gossip. If somebody is constantly telling you about others, then they're constantly telling others about you. And you need to be aware of that personality trait and that personality type. What about the cold shoulder person? The cold shoulder. You never quite know with the cold shoulder. They often disengage and avoid contact. They're open one day and next day they're cold and you think, what did I do? They're the cold shoulder person. The critic. The constantly negative and critical personality. Always looking for fault as if there's a reward for finding fault in other people. Little spoiler alert, there is no reward for finding fault in others. There's no reward. You don't get a badge for that. You don't get a bigger house in heaven for finding others. It's not an anointing. It's not a gift that God has given you to be the critic. What about the backstabber? Oh, nasty. I hate it when people say I'm right behind you. I think that's the trouble. Get in front where I can see you. I don't want anyone behind me. I want to see your face. The backstabber, the person that kind of just are two-faced with you. They are your friend when they're with you, but you keep hearing about how they stab you in the back when they're with others. What about the control freak? Ouch, the control freak. That hurts. The control freak, the one that's got to be in control. I love that personality. The one that's got to be in control. What a wonderful personality that is. That has to be in control. Somebody's got to be in control. Be in control. Behave yourself on the front row. The one that's got to be in control all the time. What about the wet blanket? The wet blanket. Just that manipulative, or that sort of stomp over all the good news, rain on your parade type personality. Or the drama queen. Oh, yeah. The drama queen, where everything's a drama. Everything is like bigger than Ben-Hur. It's like, seriously, everything's a big deal. What about the know-it-all? The know-it-all personality, the one that knows everything better than you. There's always one-upmanship with the know-it-all personality. Maybe you can think of others, because there's lots of them. Difficult people. Maybe you're even seeing faces as I'm mentioning those. Thinking, yeah, that's him, or that's her, or that's the bloke on stage right now. That's them. What about yourself? Do you identify yourself there? Identify yourself? Do you want me to go around the room and tell you who you are? We could do that. We could do that, Jacob. We could do that. We shouldn't do that. We're talking about difficult people, and none of those people are here tonight, so it's okay to talk about them. We're going to talk about difficult people that we have in our world. You know, difficult people are hard to deal with without wanting to go to war with them, like David. David just wanted to go to war. He wanted to deal with Nabal. He wanted to strap on his sword, and he said, enough is enough. And I've had plenty of times with difficult people where I've said, enough's enough, that's it. Strapped on my sword. And if there's one thing I've learned after doing this for so long, it's this. It's easy to cut someone's head off, but it's a whole lot harder to stick it back on again and make it work after you've cut it off. And cutting your head off feels good for about 30 seconds. Feels good. Gee, I cut that with precision. Look at that. It's a beautiful cut. But then there's always tragedy afterwards when you're the kind of person that cuts heads off. And so Abigail comes and she speaks to David some sense and sensibility, and she tells David some things that saved him from getting further involved with this foolish man called Nabal. Things that we can all learn when difficult people come into our world and we have to deal with them. Listen to what she says. This is what it says in verses 23 and 25 of 1 Samuel 25. It says, when Abigail saw David, she quickly got off her donkey and bowed low before him. She fell at his feet. Listen to what she said, because she had nothing to do with this. She said, I accept all the blame in this matter, my lord. Please listen to what I have to say. I know Nabal is a wicked and ill-tempered man. Please don't pay any attention to him. He is a fool, just as his name suggests. This is his wife talking. She is a fool, just as his name suggests. I never even saw the young men that you sent, the men that David had sent to get the food and ask for some supplies. So here's her advice, and this is good advice for every one of us. Don't dwell on Nabal. Don't dwell on Nabal. She literally says, pay no attention. The man's a fool. His name literally means fool. Give this scoundrel, absolutely, is what one version says, give him no regard. Can I give some advice to every person in the room in regards to difficult people? And it's this: your time and your energy are too valuable to exhaust on high maintenance people. Too valuable to exhaust on people that just choose to be difficult. Choose to be difficult and will not change. We are all difficult to a degree. We have difficult people in our world to a degree. But occasionally you get a neighbour. A neighbour is not your average difficult person. They are someone that just chooses, and they have a reputation wherever they go that they are difficult. And what Abigail says to David is this: don't pay him any attention. He is what he is. He's never going to change. And so don't let your mind, don't let your heart be hijacked by the neighbours that turn up in your life, because you will have a neighbour turn up from time to time. You've got bigger things, brighter things, better things, more important things to do than get emotionally entangled and distracted by the Nabals that come into your world. So don't dwell on Nabal. Why? Because when you dwell on the Nabals in your world, you're consumed by them. You think about them. You dream about them. You see them everywhere. Because what you dwell on defines you. What you dwell on, you literally become. What you dwell on will control you. So don't let the difficult neighbors of this world, whether they're at work or wherever they are, control, dominate, and define who you become, because they will distract you from your purpose. So do not dwell on Nabal is the first thing that Abigail says to David. The second thing she says is, Nabal is Nabal. Don't take it personal. Don't take this personal, David. Nabal is Nabal. She said, he's a fool, as his name suggests. Literally, his name meant fool. And so she's saying to David, David, Nabal's always been this way. He will always be this way. You're not going to change him. Don't get involved with him. I apologize humbly for what's happened, and I will make this right, my Lord. Please overlook this circumstance and situation, is what she is saying. You know, difficult people will not change unless they want to change. And we can't change them. I can't change difficult people. It's only difficult people that can change themselves. We need to realize the difference between someone that is difficult and choosing to be difficult and refusing to change, and people that are difficult and don't know how to change and want to change. And good advice to that difficult person will be well embraced and will actually help them, as opposed to the one that just wants to be unable and constantly be difficult. We will exhaust ourselves trying to help them. And so with that kind of unable personality, just don't take it personally. Understand it's just who they are. They've chosen to be ugly. They've chosen to be difficult. Her advice thirdly was this: show mercy. Everyone say show mercy. Show mercy by not reacting and not entering into battle with him. This is what she says. She says in verse 28, please forgive me if I have offended you in any way, Lord. The Lord will surely reward you with a lasting dynasty, for you are fighting the Lord's battles, and you have not done wrong throughout your entire life, David, even when you were chased or are chased by those who seek to kill you. She's talking about King Saul. Your life is safe in the care of the Lord your God, secure in his treasure pouch. But the lives of your enemies will disappear like stones shot from the sling. And so here's Abigail. She's pleading for mercy. She's asking for mercy, for David to forgive the wrong, for David to forgive the offense. Here's the thought. David had every right to be angry. He had every right to want to run through the sword through this Nabal person who had offended him so greatly, but there was a better way, and that better way was show mercy. And can I say to you tonight, you might have every right to be angry with them. You might have every right to strap on the sword. You might have every right to have your say, but show mercy. Showing mercy is always a better response and a greater sign and display of strength than it is to get angry, and than it is to give someone their worth or their due. A better person always responds with mercy. Sometimes some people are just looking for a fight. You ever seen that kind of personality? They're just looking for a fight, and they're not going to be happy until they get a fight. Don't enter into a fight with a fool. Don't ever enter into an argument with a fool. Give mercy, show mercy. And so Abigail spoke the word of the Lord to David, and she spoke mercy and asked and pleaded for mercy. And I want to encourage you tonight, if you've got difficult people in your world, show mercy. Turn to your neighbour and say, show mercy. Show mercy. It's not worth the battle. It's not worth spilling blood. My next thought is this, when it comes to difficult people, let God handle them. Let God. God is really good at handling difficult people. Really good at handling difficult people. Romans 12 says this. Don't ever hit back. Discover beauty in everyone. If you've got it in you, get along with everybody. Don't insist on getting even. That's not for you to do. I'll do the judging, says God. I'll take care of it. In the New Living Translation, it says, do all you can to live at peace with everybody. So in other words, put away your sword. David did that. He put away the sword. He put it away when Abigail spoke so humbly and so apologetically and so gracefully to him. He put away his sword and he refused to go into battle with Nabal. Within 24 hours, Nabal was dead. He had a stroke and David never had to strike. I'm not suggesting God will kill people for you. At all. I'm not suggesting that. I'm just telling you what happened in the story. He was struck dead when he heard the news of what Abigail had done. And when he heard it, he had a stroke. His body reacted so violently to the news that she'd apologized to David that he has a stroke and he died within 10 days. Within 10 days he was dead after having this stroke. And so the thought I have is this, put away the sword and let God deal with it. Now please don't go home and think he's going to kill someone. He's not going to kill anyone for you. But what God will do is one way or another, he'll remove that difficult person from your sphere. He'll remove that difficult person from your sphere. He'll either change them or he'll change you, or he will remove them or he will remove you. But God will remove you from that difficult, challenging circumstance and person. So I want to suggest to you, as long as we remain fired up and engage difficult people, we will keep God out of the picture because we're trying to control it. When I'm fired up, when I'm trying to control it, I'm keeping God out of the picture. When we put the sword away and show mercy, God has the opportunity to work. We might be crying out, God, would you deal with them? And God says, no, I'm dealing with you. Because see, God allows difficult people to come into our life because it's good for us. Yeah. That was a loud yes. It's good for us. Difficult people are good for us. Difficult people, they develop us. Difficult people stretch us. Difficult people challenge our lives and our thinking. And difficult people allow us to go to new levels when we're proved, tested, trusted, when we're tolerant, patient, and show mercy, and when we pray for difficult people rather than just wanting to deal with them. Everyone go, deal with them. Let God deal with them. Let God deal with difficult people. Because sometimes difficult people aren't difficult because they want to be difficult. They just don't know any better way. And when they're showing some grace, and when they're showing some mercy, and when they're showing some tenderness, and some humility, and even some apology, those difficult people can have their hearts changed. And they can become people that we get along with, and even people that we love. So when we turn the corner and we decide to love difficult people, to bless those who persecute us, because that's what the Bible says we do when we're Christian, to forgive those that have wronged us, it's amazing how God can literally move people out of the sphere of our life that have been difficult to us. Either you get a promotion and you move on, or a manager has moved out of the way. It's amazing how God can just adjust the terrain of your life where circumstances change when we decide to let God deal with them. If you live by the sword, guess what you die by? The sword. You live by the sword, you die by the sword. And so it's kind of like give what you want to get. Give grace. Take Abigail's advice. Give mercy. Give humility. Give them another chance. Give them another opportunity. Don't be so quick to cut a head off. And then finally, I think her final bit of advice is this, is in holding your peace, David, in holding your peace, you'll have no regrets and you'll preserve your destiny. You need to listen to this. You'll preserve your destiny and you'll have no regrets. Listen to what she says in verses 30, 31. She says this to David, when the Lord has done all that he has promised you and has made you leader of Israel, don't let this be a blemish on your record. In other words, she's saying, David, if you do this deed, it won't be good for you when you're king, because people will remember how you treated them. She's saying your conscience won't have to bear the staggering burden of needless bloodshed and vengeance. And when the Lord has done these great things for you, please remember me. Don't forget me, your servant. I love this. I love this. This is before the time of mobile phones and like when a girl would give a guy her number. You know, a cute girl might serve you in a cafe and she might like you, so she might slip you her mobile phone number. She might write it on the receipt and say, call me. Yeah. All the single boys, that's what happens, isn't it? That's how it works. Or you know, she might give you a card to say, hey, call me, cutie, call me. That's what Abigail's saying here. She's saying, hey, king, when you get to the throne, remember me. Don't forget this beautiful, wise, intelligent woman that's standing before you right now. This is what she's saying. Hold that thought. We're going to come back to that thought. So Abigail's saying, David, God's taken you somewhere. There's a purpose. There's a plan. There's something in this for you. And God's got a big plan for your life and things prepared for you. If you kill Nabal, it will haunt you forever. If you kill Nabal, it will be a blot against your name when you become the king. And this will affect your... What a great girl. What great wisdom. She says it will affect your destiny. Here's the lesson. If we react to difficult people, it could tamper our destiny. It could temper our destiny. Frustration, vengeance, bitterness, anger will corrupt our lives and our future and can literally disqualify us from the purpose and the plan that God has laid out for us because of the way we've treated the people in our world. It's a powerful thought. And Abigail could see it all unfolding. And when she looked at her husband Nabal and the fool that he was, and King David, this man with great purpose and great plan and great possibilities, she said, David, don't take any notice of this fool. He's a fool. It's not worth you sacrificing your future and your destiny on this man. Let God deal with this. Just walk away, David. Put your sword away. You and your men. Go back to doing what you do. And when you get to the throne, don't forget me. You know, when we put our sword away, we preserve our dignity and we preserve our destiny. If we don't put the sword away when it comes to relationships, in fighting with people, difficult people, whether they be at work, at home, family or friends, if we don't put the sword away, we find ourselves fighting a battle that never ends. Because it'll be the next difficult person, and then the next difficult one, and then the next difficult one. Because the battle's not really about the difficult person that's in front of you, it's about the difficult person that's inside of you. It's about the reactionary person in your own heart. It's about that person that doesn't know how to respond when they're faced with challenge and issue and conflict and fight. And it's about the responses of the human heart, either fight or flight. So it's more about you. And that's why difficult people are actually good for us. And that's why we don't put a big D on someone's head and go difficult and not have anything to do with them. You mightn't invite them into your yellow submarine, but you're going to have them in your world. And you've got them. And they may be sitting next to you right now. So eyes right ahead. You can miss out on a promotion. You can miss out on an opportunity. You can become bitter and twisted and miss the plan of God. And blessing can be impacted and not realized simply because of the way we respond to the people that come into our world that are difficult with us every now and then. You know, literally, David didn't realize what was at stake on this day. He didn't realize it. Abigail had the wisdom of God. Had the wisdom of God. It was all about David's life, leadership and future and kingship. And this was a defining day. As much as the day was, which happened in the next chapter, when he refused to cut, or when he refused to deal with King Saul when he found him in the cave, refused to kill him. He refused to touch him. This was a defining moment. David needed to overlook it, rise above it, turn it over to God. He needed to listen to Abigail's advice and leave the matter alone. And when he realized after it had all happened, the gravity of this moment, his response to Abigail was, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you so much for saving my life. Thank you so much for saving my future. Thank you so much for preserving my kingship with your wisdom that she had shown to David. David recognized Abigail's advice as a literal word from God sent to him. He recognized that Abigail had saved him from regret, bloodshed, and saved his life and his future. Now you remember in verse 31 when Abigail said, when the Lord has done all these great things, David, would you remember me? Why did she say that? She said that because just maybe she knew that God would deal with Nabal and that her future was not with Nabal, but her future was with David. And listen to what the Bible says as we close. Can I have a tink under stage? It says in verse 39, it says that David remembered Abigail. He remembered her. Because you never forget people that share great wisdom with you. You never forget great wisdom. And the moment you get great wisdom imparted into your life. It says in verse 39 of 1 Samuel 25, it says, when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, praise the Lord. Unusual response. Praise the Lord, who has avenged the insult I received from Nabal and has kept me from doing it myself. Nabal has received the punishment for his own sin. And then David sent messages to Abigail to ask her to become his wife. He proposed to her and he married this woman who was of great poise, beauty and intelligence, great grace, amazing kindness, humility and wisdom. And Abigail became his wife. Can I close with this thought as you stand to your feet? That the people that come into your world, the people that come into your world that will do life with you ultimately and be in your yellow submarine, the people that will be in close proximity to you, the people that will be in the rooms of your life, are defined by how you treat the people in your life. They're defined by it. So whether you live surrounded by Nabals or whether you live surrounded by Abigails is up to how you respond to the Word of God in dealing with the difficult and challenging personalities and people in your life. The people that appear to be difficult, they're often there as part of the plan and the purpose of God, to be brutally honest with you. Because God's got a lot of things he's got to work out of our own heart and our own lives and our own soul. And one of the best ways God teaches us anything is through other people. So sometimes people come into our world to aggravate our own heart and offend our own mind. Because you don't really know what's in your heart and your mind until it's offended. Until someone touches a sore spot. And there's a response that is more than it really should be in your own heart. And whenever you have a response that's more than it really should be in your own heart, it's because there's things in your own heart that God wants to deal with. And God's working in and on and through every single one of us. So don't go around shooting the difficult people. I don't mean that literally. I mean, don't go around, you know, just disposing of them out of your life. But don't go to war with them is what I mean. Don't go to war with them. Put the sword away. Put the anger away. Put the hurt away, put the event away, put the faces away. Because if you don't, you're going to carry that fight and that battle and that bitterness and that regret and that letdown for a long, long time. And you're going to find your soul carrying a burden your soul was never intended to carry. And it could mar your future. It could define your destiny. It could be a blot against your name. Not that others are aware of, but you're aware of. Because you know, you kind of disposed of that person. You dumped that person. The way you treat the people in your world will determine whether you live with Nabals or Abigails. And I don't think there's a person in this room that would embrace a Nabal above an Abigail. Every one of us want to have people and friends and family and relatives and work colleagues and employers and employees that are full of poise, that are intelligent, that are wise, that are kind, that are patient, that are tolerant,
and have the right word in the right moment, as opposed to the volcano who's just going to explode, or the sponge that sucks all the life out of you, or the cold shoulder, you never know what you're going to get, or the gossip, or whatever the personality trait might be. Let God deal with other people. In other words, we don't have to deal with them. We don't. We didn't have to deal with them. We didn't have to be the police for everybody's personality. God deals with all of us. And here's the sad reality. The sad reality is we're all difficult in our own way. We're all difficult in our own way. We all find ourselves in difficult moments. We get difficult because of the pressures of life. We get difficult because of the stress. We get difficult because of the load that we carry. We get difficult because we think others aren't doing it. We get difficult because of lack of sleep. We get difficult just because we need to eat some food and rest. We just get difficult. So don't go home and say to your wife, "You know what? That's a great sermon tonight." I hope you were listening. Because you're difficult. Don't go home and say to your husband, "Just saying." Don't do it. Look in your own heart. Would you close your eyes for just a moment? Look in your own heart. I am that difficult person. Hi, my name is Tony, and I'm difficult. Can you say that? Put your name on it. And then say this: I don't want to be that difficult person. I don't want to be a Nabal. I don't want to be that fool. It's the only time you're ever going to hear me say this. I'm going to say it publicly. I want to be an Abigail. And every man in the room needs to say that with me. Without it being weird. It kind of feels weird, but don't make it weird. I want to be an Abigail. Not a Nabal. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray you'd help us tonight. We've talked about this because we do life with people. We do relationship with people. We do the journey in close proximity with people. And sometimes people annoy us. Sometimes they get under our skin. Sometimes it's awkward. Sometimes it's challenging. Sometimes it's just downright difficult. Sometimes we want to put the sword on and go to war and have a battle. Sometimes we want to cut heads off. Help us to be an Abigail and to sense and hear the word of the Lord and bring the word of the Lord to ourselves, but not only to ourselves, to other people. Help us to be gracious and kind and humble and apologetic, to apologize where it's necessary and required and helpful. Help us to own our feelings. Help us to own our responses and our reactions. Help us to own our ugliness. Help us to own, Lord, our anger. Help us to own our frustrations. Help us to own our challenges that cause us to react in such unnecessary ways. Help us, God, to be like an Abigail. Not only would we rescue our own household, which is what she literally did, but we would save the destiny of others. And we could say to others, it's just not worth it. It's not worth the battle. It's not worth the fight. It's not worth the anger. It's not worth the heat. Just show some mercy and you'll be a better person. And this will not affect your future. Help us, God, as we navigate life. Because relationships aren't always easy. Connections aren't always easy. Our working environments aren't always easy. There's challenge, there's heat, there's friction. And we just need your help. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Is that good? Everyone in the room feeling good about being an Abigail? I am.